We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chance to win $25 to Twin Peaks. It is our 9 o'clock hour prize just for listening. Ryan, make it simple to win.
Oh, well, this segment's going to be a breeze to listen to because we got some great stuff coming up for you. But
always,
next time you hear this.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Be caller number 8 for revenge of 08, I guess, in Tennessee.
Yeah, caller number 8, 913-576-7610. The next time you hear that drop, hook you up with $25 to Twin Peaks.
We're going to be at Rally House Friday, 97 to Quivira. Rally Friday.
That's right.
Last week, it was at probably 10.
Mm-hmm.
This 11? This 12?
Get it to a 14 this week. It's AFC Championship game week, an unexpected game being played here in Kansas City.
You want to eat. You want to tailgate. You want to get to Rally House early.
Right.
Get your shopping on. We got it all for you, and they're actually going to give $1,000 gift card.
That's what? $1,000 Rally House gift card.
Could you do
will
some damage
away
at Rally House with $1,000?
Oh, but wait, there's more. There's a cornhole tournament that we're going to have.
Go on.
Okay, Bob Allen Ford is giving away a Chiefs Yeti cooler.
I think we have to say a Yeti cooler with
your favorite football team
on it.
Okay, whatever. You've got that down. We are going to have Tailgate Ted from Lawrence coming over. He's going to tailgate with us and show you some great tailgate recipes and things like that. We're going to have Old Shawnee Pizza with breakfast pizza. We're going to have Smokehouse Barbecue with them Cajun wings again. Oh, they are so good. We are going to have free massages from Sunshine over at Sunrenity.
Sunshine. If it's anything like last week, Andy Reid's coming again.
Andy Reid will be there.
And former Chiefs players will be there.
And that's right.
True.
We will have
whipping out the autographs.
Yeah, that's right. We'll have former Chiefs players there giving autographs as
well.
Yeah,
sure.
Daron Cherry, Kevin Lockett will be there. We will also have Sean Barber on hand, a couple more to be named as we get closer and closer to the event that is going to take place.
Player to be named later.
That's right. So players will be there for autographs. So you want to get there early to make sure you get everybody's autograph. And there are going to be some other things that we add into the prize kind of pool as the week goes along. And
you mentioned Four Hands Brewing.
Four Hands Brewing is going to be there as well. Our old friend Jeremy Danner will be there with a swag from Four Hands Brewing. So you can come check that out as well. You can bring your grill and feel free to tailgate in the parking lot if you want. And hopefully By 2-3 o'clock this afternoon, we got some even bigger news we can drop on you guys.
All right. So stay tuned. Stay tuned for more.
Stay tuned to social media, 610 Facebook, my Facebook page, the Lot D Tailgate Facebook page. We're all going to have this kind of information updated. We want you to bring your buses, your super fan costumes and all that to be there as well to get this rally moving in the right direction.
Part of our goal is to unearth everything going on in the opposing city.
That's right.
Ahead of these games.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what the pulse of Nashville is.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, we found the pulse of Houston.
That's right. We got that good.
They were going to fight like Texans.
That's right.
I don't know what this sounds like. I'm with you, the listener. We're going to experience this together. Bob has had a bleep eating grin on his face since yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
This would be the Titans fight song.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do this.
They used to be the Oilers a long, long time ago when they played in the Houston Astrodome. They've gone from being spoilers to starting 6-0 since they moved to Tennessee to call it home. They had a Music City miracle to conquer Buffalo, and they came within a yard of winning in the Super Bowl. They've had the same head coach leading all the way. That's one of many reasons that I'm loving how they play. Ooh.
Didn't see that line coming, did you?
Oh, he's not done.
Oh, there's more.
He's going.
Saying about Warren.
First team I recall who ever had a catchy tune to help them celebrate him doing what they do. So here's to the Titans like McNair and Eddie George and the current team who's fighting for their faithful fans to forge a final destination across the end zone line in Tampa in February of 2009.
He gets fighting rides with Titan.
Right.
Tennessee Titans. They're the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titans all the way.
Yeehaw! Oh, there's more.
They're the Tennessee Titans. They'll keep on fighting all the way.
Hail to the churro.
They're the Tennessee Titans. They're the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titans all the way.
In my opinion, that sucked.
Did you enjoy that, Ryan?
Not even a little.
I don't know. That chorus was kind of catchy.
And when you forget the words or run out of words, you just go back to the Tennessee Titans all the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Nashville's produced a lot of great songwriters. That was not one.
No, that was not. So. Very disappointed. Very disappointed with all of the songwriters down there, with the country and western singers that they have in Nashville. That's what they came up with.
Nobody legit would want to get on board, would they?
No.
Okay. Tennessee Titans. I don't know. It's got a catchiness to it.
They're the Tennessee Titans. They're the Tennessee Titans. They'll keep on fighting all the way.
Yeehaw!
You need the yeehaw.
That's a good
yeehaw. You got to have the yeehaw in there.
That is a good yeehaw.
Totally screwed that one.
So what'd you think? 69306 on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. You can give us your reaction.
I mean, it's no Mahomie Show Me Shuffle.
No, it really isn't.
To the
we need some good Chiefs songs this week. So Titans, if you got some, Titans send them to us.
I tried to recruit
I mean,
one
everyone sends them, though, and I'd say maybe four of them were good.
That many?
Yeah, so that's a lot.
That's a high number. Generous.
B-Dub,
a lot of good rap music.
B-Dub and KC wins $25 to Twin Peaks just for listening. Hey, nice job, B-Dub. Get out your jump to conclusions, Matt. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Some of the reaction coming in on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line, 69306. Don't ever play that again. I need the music video with Henry on guitar, Tannehill on the washboard, and Vrabel can add the yeehaws. Now, that would be good.
That would be good, yeah.
I just walked into my office with that damn song now stuck in my head. Mm. Sorry, not sorry. I kind of low-key enjoyed the song, someone says. That bleep was terrible. My ears are bleeding.
I hope they miss as many scoring opportunities in the game as they missed yeehaw opportunities.
There were so many missed yeehaw opportunities on that song.
Not as good as the Texans one. Someone else says that was better than the Texans one.
I agree, actually.
Was this song part of the 08 Revenge Tour?
That is, if you're going on the 08 Revenge Tour, you got to have a song, right?
I think so. So
really embracing the Houston aspect of that thing, too, with the Oilers. I mean, they sang about Warren Moon.
Yeah. Billy White Shoes Johnson.
And Earl Campbell, which is kind of a scary situation considering Derrick Henry is pretty much Earl Campbell in 2020.
But nobody has those thighs, though.
Come again now?
Earl Campbell was a large, large man. Tree trunks for legs.
Nobody wanted
to
tackle
that
dude.
He was born Earl Christian Campbell.
Was that really his middle
name? Tree trunks for... I remember the NFL Films one or something like that. He was born Earl Christian Campbell. Thighs the size of something.
Everybody love the Texans.
I like the Texans one better. I like the Texans one better than myself.
Skies, big Texas pride.
Go Texans, go!
And we'll fight like Texans. Hail to the Toro, the
mean, they're sitting through a churro.
I can visualize sitting on the back of a tailgate, cracking open a cold one and slugging it down while you're hearing that song. And the Yeehaw was so good.
They
didn't miss on the Yeehaw.
The Nashville one felt like this is, you know, somebody that's really tried to write some songs for people that didn't catch.
Right.
That's all. Struggle is writing in a one-room apartment somewhere in Nashville, just trying to make it big.
Oh, he's down there, man. He's waiting tables at night and singing during the day.
Didn't get it.
Tennessee Titans. They're the Tennessee Titans.
Not feeling it.
He was humming this in his head all day.
Yeehaw! All right. Like it's missing something. It's just missing something.
My yeehaw would be the answer.
I mean, you got that Billy White Shoes reference in there.
It's like Manhattan Melodies when Kermit says the show's missing something. It's missing all my friends, and he brings the chickens and ducks and things, and that song is missing chickens.
Missing chickens and ducks.
Chickens and ducks and pigs and big yellow birds and people named Gonzo and Fozzie. That would be better if Fozzie was like in there, we're the Tennessee Titans, and he goes, waka waka. Like, how much better would that song have been?
913, y'all going to play this awful song all week, too.
Or even if you had, like, Beaker going, dee, 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 dee.
Little tip. The more you tell us we shouldn't, we will.
We will.
Not right now.
And what if you added in the Swedish Chef? We're the Tennessee Titans. Doopy doopy doo. Like, there's so much ability to add in things that they just left out.
That was your Swedish Chef. Doopy doo. That's much better.
See, we're the Tennessee Titans. Flug, 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 flug. Like, you can add that in. It's better. It is better than nothing.
I do visualize that better. He's sitting on a stool with a little banjo.
Right.
And he's got the Muppets around him.
Or you could have the Fraggle Rock characters in the middle of it. Down Fraggle Rock. Like, there's just so much on the table.
Banjo cares away.
Yeah. Never had home box as a kid. Never Fraggled.
What? Nobody going to reel this one in?
Didn't know where the proper times, because sometimes I reel it in and then it starts again. I was just letting it just take a natural end this time. You know what I mean? Like, it's done. Before Bob starts thinking of other puppets he would want involved in the Titan song. Apparently, the game was over in the third quarter.
Yeah,
Sunday.
Well, it was.
Kind of was. Yeah.
It's over at halftime, bro.
Maybe so. Frank Clark caught himself daydreaming ahead. In the midst of the win over the Texans, ahead to trying to stop Derrick Henry and the Titans. Clark appearing with Deion Sanders on NFL Network.
Man, to be honest, man, I was thinking about him in the third quarter, man. But to keep it real, you know, I was thinking about him in the third. I'm like, man, that boy run that ball 35 times a game for 200. I say, we got to think about that. But no, you know, just, you enjoy it, man. You know, you enjoy the win. And, you know, you got to be able to get back to it. You know, it's Monday, have a short-term memory, you know, enjoy it. But, you know, I've been playing 5 years in this league, and I know it, you know, enjoying too much can lead to. So, you know, enjoy it, but it's time to get back to our studies, man. Let's play our football, you know, every second count.
Caught himself wondering, like, oh, man, we got to stop that guy next week. Oh, wait. Oh, back to the moment.
But I do like the fact that he said, I've been in this league long enough, even though it's only been 5 years. That's fairly long.
Football terms, that's long.
Yeah, that is long in football terms. But he says, I've been here long enough to realize and understand that if we start enjoying this too much, we're not going to do what we need to do to really get to the moment where we want to be, and that's in the Super Bowl. And I think that's the veteran leadership that you have this go-around, maybe that you didn't have a year ago. You know, you didn't have Frank Clark. You didn't have Ty Matthew to tell these guys inside that locker room. You didn't have Patrick Mahomes really as a guy who experienced this before. And nobody experienced it inside that locker room. You've now got guys that have experienced it before, gotten to this level, know how close that they are, and want to make sure that they're doing everything right this week, that they don't leave anything on the table, they don't forget to do anything, that they are focused on the game at hand and not still celebrating that big win that they had against the Houston Texans. Because if you find yourself on Tuesday and Wednesday still celebrating that win against the Houston Texans, you know what's going to happen? You're going to forget about the Tennessee Titans, and then that's going to be your last memory of a win, and you don't want that to be the case. You want two more.
The trajectory that is Frank Clark from day one to now in a Chiefs uniform has been massive. Head coach Andy Reid on Now his stud defensive lineman.
Oh, he's relentless. I mean, that's on that one sack kind of tells you the whole story. When he was running around, chasing him, and missed him twice, and got back up and sacked him. I mean, that's how he's wired. So, and then he works at it. I mean, every play at practice, he's that way.
Yeah, that sack, I keep going back to that sack of Deshaun Watson and the ability to have that quarterback run around him run around the quarterback several times, get up off the ground and still make the sack, was huge. But his...
It was like an old Looney Tunes where they chase each other in a circle, you know?
His day one to now, I mean, he looks like the wrecking ball defender we signed up for.
Yeah, right? I don't know that we've seen an athlete kind of do a 180 in the course of a season like we saw with Frank Clark. I don't think anyone has grown on a fan base in this fan base more than what Frank Clark has, both on and off the field. He went from public enemy number one to a guy that now everybody loves. He's playing amazing football, and he is kind of the perfect example that we have in front of us of not to make a final judgment on a player or a scheme or a coach after the first week of the season. We've all been there. We've all made those mistakes. Mine was Alex Gordon, opening day 2011. We've all been in those situations where we said something, we thought something, and it really isn't a fair judgment to make in September or October or November or in April or in May. You have to let the entire process play its way out. And now as we take a step back and we survey what we've seen so far over the course of the season, nobody remembers what happened at the beginning of the year with Frank Clark. Nobody remembers him, you know, saying the things about the fan base that we didn't find to be aesthetically pleasing to the ear. What we're remembering about Frank Clark is that for the first time he was healthy was against the Chargers in Mexico City and played a dominating game and has been able to build off of that and get us to this point right now where he is such a valuable defender for this team. He's changed the whole shape of the defense, and it's no wonder the defense started playing better once Frank Clark got healthy and became a difference maker. I'll credit Terrez Paylor for kind of keeping us all on task with Frank Clark by saying all year, he's going to be okay. Wait till he's healthy. This guy's banged up. Wait till he's healthy. Wait till he's healthy. And here he is healthy, and he's a beast. And that sack that you talked about, that we've talked about the last couple of days, that kind of sums up what Frank Clark has meant to this team over these last 7 weeks of the season.
A national host still can't quite figure out the quarterback, but says, get used to it and your chance to win $1,000 next.
Doopy doopy doo.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
It's 1,000 on the 30s. Text the code word IMAGINE to 72881. That's IMAGINE. IMAGINE. IMAGINE to 72881. You could be the $1,000 cash winner in the national contest. We had a 9:30 winner last week on this show. Do it again. 610 Sports Radio, the only sports radio station in Kansas City. Give you a chance to win up to $9,000 each weekday. Listen on the 30s between 8 and 5. Your next chance at 10:30. Complete rules at 610sports.com. IMAGINE to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000.
Bare minimum, that guy owes us a drink, right?
Which guy?
The guy that won $1,000.
Oh, yeah.
Or gal.
Yeah, yeah. Whoever
being
won.
Presumptive,
yeah.
I
absolutely.
Suppose.
Come on out to Rally House this Friday from 6 to 10, and maybe you can win $1,000 in a Rally House gift card. We're giving that away on a Friday morning. So come on out and get registered between 6 and 10, and we will announce the winner at the end of the show on Friday morning. We're also doing a cornhole tournament. Bob Allen Ford is giving away
it's gonna be an awesome prize
Yeti cooler with your favorite football team's logo on it.
That's the one.
Old Shawnee well Pizza will be out there with breakfast pizza.
Detroit
Smokehouse
Flyers.
Barbecue will be out there with the wings that they are so famous for. We'll have Tailgate Ted coming in from Lawrence putting on a tailgate display. I'm sure Ralph's Chili will be there again, Ryan's Hot Dogs, and all kinds of other things that were still in the works and hopefully we can announce a little bit later on today.
Colin Cowherd, Fox Sports, on our sister station 1660. The Score, can't quite figure out this quarterback, and I think that's good.
Mahomes is not somebody we'll ever, ever figure out. And barring an injury, he's going to be Peyton Manning, or he's going to be Brady, or he's going to be Favre. You don't figure out the best pure passer in football. Nobody figured out Elway. Nobody figured out Marino. He didn't win a bunch of Super Bowls, but he was great until the very end.
Now, what I don't like about that is nobody figured out Elway. Nobody figured out Marino.
Mm-hmm.
One never won the big one,
right?
And the other one needed a running game
to win the big one.
In order to win the big one,
yeah. And that's what, like, I don't understand.
Another part
of
it scares me.
Comparison there. I mean, John Elway, as you talked about earlier in the show, Ryan, his completion percentage for his career was like 58%. Baker Mayfield
56%.
Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and somebody else had better completion percentages this year in the NFL.
But what made Elway magical wasn't the stats that just jumped off the page. I think he only passed for 4,000 yards once in his career. Granted, a much different NFL at the time. But
right.
Still, like, the stats weren't just staggering for John Elway. What was staggering is 2 minutes left, game on the line, ball's in Elway's hands, and I don't know if I can recover from that. Like, that's what made him special, was his ability to convert those types of situations.
Right.
And I think that even more so, like, if you don't like that comp for Patrick Mahomes, then I'm not going to comp numbers. Patrick Mahomes statistically is just head and shoulders better, at least at this point in his career, like season for season, than John Elway.
Well,
was. He just didn't put numbers up that just jumped out at you. But the thing that he did that he was better at than damn near anybody else, especially in his era, were those comebacks. And that game on the line situation when he had the ball in his hands and he was trailing, he was damn near unstoppable. And I think that's what you saw with Patrick Mahomes this last week. I think that's what you saw last year in that AFC Championship game. Now, granted, a much different result in last year's AFC Championship game, but there is something to Patrick Mahomes that just he hates to lose. I don't think anybody likes to lose, but like it's like in his DNA to say, I can't even fathom doing this, and I'm going to do every damn thing I can to put it on the line and make sure my team can be in the best position to win. You saw it on Sunday. You saw it last year in the AFC Championship game. You've seen flashes of it throughout the entire season. So, I mean, I think that's what makes Patrick Mahomes special. That's what makes guys like John Elway special.
Well, I don't like the Elway and Marino comps because of really the lack of postseason success, especially for Dan Marino. And John Elway led a lot of great comebacks, but, I mean, save the one game in the AFC title game against Cleveland with the drive, John Elway's big moments were all regular season type of moments. I mean, then he got into those first two Super Bowls and 39-20 got smoked by the Giants, and then like 55-10 or whatever it was got smoked by the Washington Redskins the following year. Then John Elway went Super Bowl-less for a very long time, and the only reason they made that second Super Bowl is because Ernest Biner fumbled the ball, and the Denver Broncos were able to benefit from a fumble for the Cleveland Browns to get into the Super Bowl. And then John Elway went a decade plus before he made it back to the Super Bowl, and made it back to the Super Bowl because he had Hall of Famer Terrell Davis running behind him. And everybody says John Elway needed that to get to the Super Bowl. I hope those aren't the same results that we see with Patrick Mahomes.
And I hate to knock a couple of Hall of Fame quarterbacks, because I think they were two of the best quarterbacks I watched in my, you know, my youth.
Sure, absolutely.
So I don't want to discount that part of it.
But that's a lot of regular season success.
But I look at it now and I'm like, bar's in a different spot, and it's now winning titles.
Right, like I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to need the help of Terrell Davis to win a championship. I think Patrick Mahomes is the Terrell Davis that helps everybody else win a championship.
He might. Like 6 weeks ago, we thought he needed Terrell Davis.
I mean, but if we're going to sit here and
so
say
he might at some point. I think this particular season we can see that he has a good enough stock of receiver talent. He may need a running back at some point, right? He may. I don't think that that's going to be the case with this offense, but he may be in that camp.
I just, if we're going to use the argument that it was a different NFL in John Elway's time, and that the reason that he didn't pass for over 4,000, it was a different time and a different era and a different game. Like, it was a different game then, too. Like, you did need a running game at that point to be a dominating
did
type
you
of
in
team.
98, though? Was that, that's kind of on the cusp, you know?
I think you're still having some great running backs winning Super Bowls during that era. I mean, that was the era when great defense and a good running game could get you to where you needed to be. So, I mean, granted, you had Peyton Manning competing during those times as well, but still,
that was the early Peyton Manning days,
Right, so, and again, like, I think going back to Elway, like, you talk about what makes him magical. His numbers, even splits during his career, like when he was trailing, his numbers are remarkably close to what he was all the rest of the time. It was just the fact that, like, he wasn't going to turn the ball over, and he was going to put it in the best possible position to get some guy you'd never heard of a 30-yard completion for a touchdown to win the game. Like, that was just how he did it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the same way with Patrick Mahomes.
But don't you look at Elway and Marino and at the end of the day go, they left a lot out there.
Yeah.
Well, sure, but I think that, and again.
And so that's why I don't like that comp, because I don't want to say that at the end of Mahomes' career where we look back and we go, boy, that was fun, but.
I mean, you could say the same thing about guys like Peyton Manning. Like, boy, he left a lot out.
Well, Peyton Manning also was competing yearly with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Right, but I think, and again, we go back to this a lot, and I'll say this all the time. The New England Patriots have ruined a lot of things. One of them is success and winning. Like, you can win one Super Bowl.
And Peyton Manning's legacy, because without right. the New England Patriots, he's probably the Tom Brady we're talking about.
Two Super Bowls is, that's, it used to be a thing. It used to be a big thing.
No, it is. I still think it is
a big
thing.
I still think it is.
I still think it is. But I think John Elway's
Eli
came
Manning's
so
got
late.
Two of them. We don't care.
But I think John Elway's came so late in his career, and John Elway's came with a yeah, but attached to it. Like, yeah, but he didn't do it until he got Terrell Davis on his team. And I just don't want there to be any yeah, buts. And I think those are two of the quarterbacks that were some of the greats of all time, but have really big butts.
Gonna let that
came
one...
out exactly how
yes,
I wanted
exactly.
it to.
Exactly. We couldn't draw that up better. Colin Cowherd says Casey's offense built to last.
Kansas City is built to win a million ways. By the way, we've seen him win in snow. We've seen him win with a lead. We just saw him trail 24-0, and you never once, unless you're a Chiefs fan, you weren't freaking out. The play calling didn't change. The players didn't change. The game didn't change. And the minute they got the kickoff, you're like, okay, all right. They switch field position. Here we go. Two plays later, score. Kansas City scored 7 touchdowns. No drive was longer than 3 minutes and 55 seconds. It's different, and it's the kind of offense I think that will last forever.
Why would anybody other than a Chiefs fan be freaking out if their team was down 24-0? Like, why is a guy sitting in, you know, Los Angeles, California, who's not a Chiefs fan, freaking out at that point in time? I think the only people that were freaking out were Chiefs fans, and I was at Arrowhead. You could sense it. You could feel it. And then he talked about that kickoff return by Mecole Hardman, and I remember looking out on the crowd when that happened, and the excitement got back right away. And once that excitement got back into the crowd, I think the players sensed that excitement as well and built off of that and used that excitement to move right down the field and score a quick touchdown, you know, a minute and 11 seconds later, and they were on the scoreboard. And from there on out, it was on. And I think Colin is right when he says this is an offense that will always be one that you're not going to be able to kind of figure out, and it's always going to be built to last because they do beat you in so many different ways. They can beat you with wide receivers. They can beat you with tight ends. They can beat you with Damian Williams out of the backfield, and then they can really beat you with Patrick Mahomes running and breaking your back on a third down play like he did so many times on Sunday against the Houston Texans. When he rolls out of that pocket the opposite way of where everything else is going and the defense is going one way and he comes back the other way, those are back-breaking plays. He's got the ability, and this offense has the ability to beat you in so many different phases.
And I think that that's what makes this one – that's what we're going to look back, I think, at this season, too, and see that they've won in different ways and they were able to overcome some things to showcase that they can win in different ways. That might have to be on full display again Sunday.
Sure, it may have to be. You may have to see a different style of offense to try to win a game. There may be somebody right now that we're not thinking of that has a major impact on that game and helps the Chiefs to a win.
Maybe they should tackle this head on. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
.188, .159, .149, .103, .86, .211, .182, .195.
What are numbers I don't want to see on Sunday,
yeah,
Alex?
That's true. Those are not your lottery numbers either, unfortunately. Those are Derrick Henry numbers, including the Chiefs game and then on for the rest of the season. One time under 100 yards, they lost that game. Won the rest of them. .188 against the Chiefs, .159 against the Jags, .149 yards against Indy, .103 against Oakland, lost the game to Houston, had 86, .211 in the rematch against Houston, .182 against New England, and 195 against Baltimore.
Every game where he's rushed for 100 or more yards, they've won.
You think anybody ever plays those lucky numbers on the back of a fortune cookie?
No, I've never
had. Maybe.
Never had, not one time.
But those numbers right there are lucky numbers that if you're in Nashville, you should be playing in the lottery if there's a way to play those.
I don't
numbers.
Think you can play triple digits.
No,
numbers.
You can't, but you can. You know, you'll figure it out. People have ways.
Can you do that in Keno?
You do like a pick three or 1-8-8 or something?
Yeah, well, all eights or, you know. There's probably a way that, you know, you can figure it out and use those as your lucky numbers because it has been lucky for the Tennessee Titans. It really is. Like that to me is the most amazing stat this year as a whole for a team. Every time he rushes for 100 yards, they win the game. I mean, there's not like an 8-1. There's not an outlier. Every time this guy rushes for 100 yards or more, they win the football game. So I think that has to be the number that you look at if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. We have got to hold Derrick Henry to under 100 yards rushing. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
And if they do, they win the game for sure. I'm with you. And they win the game. For sure they do that.
Absolutely.
Not because happening. I don't think they're holding him under 100 yards.
So then do you think they're losing the football game?
No. I think they're going to
how can you say that, though? I mean, look at what's happening.
I think they're going to beat this stat, but he's still going to have a nice day. You can't have him have a 195 or a 211 or even a 188 game and expect to win.
So what do you think the number is?
Chargers held him to 90. Titans won that game.
Yeah, but holding him to 150 is a cop-out.
Tampa Bay held him to 75. They won that game.
Okay. I mean, obviously there are exceptions to the rule, but
when he's over 100.
Yeah, when he's over 100.
It's a lock.
It's
this season,
a lock.
Right?
To win the game. So,
I think he's over 100. I think they're going to beat that trend. He's going to be over 100.
And
you've got to keep him less than, you got to keep him in the 125 range.
Okay. Like if he's pushing 130.
And he can't have 30 carries like he did.
I mean, you are right. Anytime he has gone over 100 yards, the Titans.
It is the best kind of correct, Ryan. Technically correct.
Technically correct.
So let me ask you this. If he goes 30 carries, 131 yards, do the Chiefs win the game?
Probably not.
Ryan, what do you think?
30 carries.
30 carries, 131.
He's got the ball a lot.
I think if he has 30 carries, it means that they're probably playing with a lead, which scares the hell out of me. But I don't think he gets 30 carries if they're playing from behind for the majority of that game. And like we've talked about, like I think that's the biggest reason why you have to go out there and start fast. You said you want him to take the opening kickoff, take it and return it and or receive it and go out there and handle their business. Look, I don't think it's a bad play on that. I also think that setting the tone early on defense is something that you need to get done. So I think there may be something to actually deferring and then just going out and punching them in the mouth on that first drive and getting the ball back.
What do you think? What do you have more confidence in, scoring on the first drive or going out there and sending a message on defense?
I mean, if I'm a betting man, obviously I'm going to say scoring on the first drive. But I think that stopping them on the first drive means more to the Chiefs' overall plans for victory than scoring on that first drive does. I mean, I think the Chiefs
offense...
That's
a fair point. Now, that's an interesting way to look at it. Yeah.
I think the Chiefs offense is one of those types of offense that you can flip the switch and you are... And it's on, right? Unfortunately, you didn't get to see that last time against the Tennessee Titans. I think you're going to get to see that again. You know, we had the conversation of, are you going to see that 35-plus point per game Kansas City Chiefs offense of old? I think Andy Reid's tired of playing around. He knows what this offense can do, and he knows what the Tennessee offense can do. They can't put up points the way that the Chiefs do, and the best way to do it is to punch them in the mouth. But the inverse of that, again, is make their offense take the one thing that they have that they can really do well and make them go, oh, can we do this today?
Right.
And I think that goes further for you winning.
I know up 7-0, but the as we've talked about with this offense, you get the ball first, you score, you're up 7-0. There is a lot of pressure on that opposing offense to go down there and match that score. Because if you don't, now the Chiefs get the ball back. What if they go down again and score? Now you're down 14-0. And now you're down 14-0. You're at Arrowhead. You're on the road. It's going to be tough to do what you want to do. So I think there is something to be said for getting that first score and putting immediate pressure on an offense that is very one-dimensional for the most part. And having to make them run the football, and you can stack 8 in a box because you know that's what they're going to try to do, and you can go out there and stop them and get a quick 3-and-out, get the ball back, go up 14-0, ball game.
I mean, it's very much one of those lopsided kind of mismatches for the Chiefs and the Titans, because if you look at it, what do the Titans do well? They run the ball well. What do the Chiefs not do well? They don't defend the run well.
Right.
What do the Titans don't? What do they not do well on offense? They don't move the ball through the air well. Well, the Chiefs are pretty good at defending the pass. So you're not really matching strength for strength. You're matching strength versus weakness. And whether or not you want to say, well, the Chiefs have turned a corner and I believe in the last 6 weeks of the season offense or defense rather than the first, 10 weeks of the season defense. Hey, we stopped Dalvin Cook. Why not? Why couldn't we do this?
Dalvin Cook, the Vikings stopped Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, and there's really, I don't think.
And I'm not counting on the Titans doing that with Henry. They're not going to stop. They were down 10-0 the first matchup, too. They didn't abandon anything.
Right.
I mean, some things had to go their way and to, to get into it and whatever, and they picked up a fumble return for score and everything.
I mean,
but
as much as
they're not going away from that game plan. So I still am in the camp. Score a couple times and then see if you can get them out of the game.
And they believe they can do whatever they want. They just beat Baltimore and New England on the road in the playoffs.
I mean, the crazy thing to me is, though, I'm not necessarily certain that the Titans completely abandoned ship on the running game if they're trailing. Like, I feel like they're the type of team that could still be down by two, maybe even three scores, and still be running the ball at a high clip. I think the text line's 100% right on this. If Derrick Henry has 150 yards on 30 carries, the Chiefs lose. If they have 150 yards on 20 carries, they probably win that game. Like, I think they're going to be committed to running the ball regardless of what the score is, because they know the Chiefs can't stop it.
Maybe they should just tackle this guy head on. Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, dropped by earlier in the show, shared a story of Ryan Clark of ESPN about stopping those big-time runners.
They say he's going to go full speed into Jacobs, whether he whiffed when flying by like the Roadrunner or knocked himself out. He was going to set the tone by that one opportunity. He said Jacobs ran differently the rest of that game. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to be productive, but it means that if you can make him look or stutter just a little bit because somebody came in and lowered the boom on him, that will help us tremendously. But it is a load, and you got to make some business decisions. And the thing is, it's not so much about what he does in the first quarter. It's the fact that at around that time of day, it's probably going to be about 20 degrees, 18 degrees, and it's the fourth quarter. It's about 4:30, 5 o'clock local time. The sun has gone down, and now you have to tackle him for the fourth quarter. And if you ask any defensive player and pretty much any big back, they'll tell you, you just get tired of hitting him. And if they're going to give him the ball 25 times, that means you got 25 opportunities to have to bring him down. And those safeties that he outweighs, you just get tired of hitting. And so we have to be in a position where we take that aspect of the game away from them, jump out on points, and force the ball just to be played in Ryan Tannehill's hands. And to me, that's going to be the recipe for success.
Now we'll see if he's the type that would go away after an early downhill hit.
Because
I don't feel like he is.
No,
I wish he was. I don't feel like he is. And I don't feel like the Titans are our team that would shy away from that either, right?
No, watching Brandon Jacobs as much as I did, watching the Giants.
And in Coffeyville.
Played down in Coffeyville. Brandon Jacobs wasn't the toughest guy out there, man. Like, I saw a lot of times where Brandon Jacobs would get to the line of scrimmage, get stopped, fall down. Like, Brandon Jacobs wasn't willing, in my opinion, to run through a wall like I think Derrick Henry is willing to do. And playing somebody in a playoff game versus playing somebody in a regular season game, I don't think is on the same page. I appreciate the analogy, but I just don't think Brandon Jacobs was as tough as Derrick Henry
is. I like
the
tone-setting aspect of it, though, absolutely.
I don't know that you can tone-set with Derrick Henry.
I would give it a try.
Ryan Tannehill's attempted 29 passes this postseason.
That's right, and they're 2-0. And they beat Baltimore and New England on the road, and they've thrown 29 passes.
I mean, it just kind of like hurts your head to even think about it.
It's stunning. And that's why it's scary all in the same breath,
It's stunning because he hasn't had to.
Right.
I mean, they haven't stopped the run enough to force him to pass.
And two that's really good defenses haven't been able to stop the run.
It's not to say he can't pass. I mean, he beat you with a run and two throws himself for the game-winning score in that first matchup.
Yeah.
He can do it. I'd still rather force him to do that.
Probably the last time he beat somebody.
In the postseason, nobody's forced him to do that. So that's where they got to get to.
I'm a little upset we missed the biggest story of the day. Tyson Fury and his interesting training regimen.
I did see that.
He's fighting Deontay Wilder coming up. Deontay Wilder who said that he's trying to catch a body in the ring. Tyson Fury, though, 31 years old. I want to point that out right now. 31 years old.
Kind of in his prime.
He's there. He's got an interesting training regimen on how he's planning to approach training to take on Deontay Wilder.
I'm masturbating 7 times a day. 7 times. Keep me testosterone pumping. Pumping, 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 pumping it up. Don't you know?
That's a lot. That's
yeah,
a lot.
Listen. I've got to keep active and testosterone flowing, so it's fine.
How about
don't want the levels to go down.
Man, Mick would have a field day with this guy. 7 times a day? This cat's 31, even in my prime. I mean, like prime. That's a lofty
that's
goal.
6 times more. That's...
You have to call a doctor.
Goodness gracious. High school kids don't even do this.
There is no perfect segue.
I mean, maybe like 4 times.
Out of this one.
There really isn't.
Cody and Gold are next on 610 Sports Radio.
7?
Talk to you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.